The case of Randall Carrick has opened up a lot of questions about the grand jury process. Carrick, of course, is the CMPD officer accused of shooting an unarmed black man 10 times. A grand jury indicted him this week on a charge of voluntary manslaughter, but only after a different grand jury refused to indict him last week. Joining us now is Sarah Sun Beal, a law professor at Duke University and the author of the book, Grand Jury Law and Practice. Welcome.
It's nice to be here.
Well, can you just give us a basic overview and the role of a grand jury?
Most people are familiar with the trial jury, the jury that hears the full case against the defendant. The grand jury is very different. It's a group of citizens like the trial jury, but they don't hear both sides of the case. They only hear typically the government side of the case very early on, and their function isn't to decide ultimate guilt or innocence. It's rather to decide whether there's enough evidence to hold the defendant to answer at trial or if he wants to plead guilty. But it's a preliminary screening device to protect individuals from mistaken or biased or just wrongful charges early on.
Now, it was in the grand jury hearing for Officer Randall Carrick, the initial one, it was said that there was less than a full grand jury, meaning that not all 18 grand jury members were part of this hearing. How does it work where there isn't a full grand jury?
Well, it's pretty common because most grand juries sit for a lengthy period of time. So if the grand jury is going to go on for 6 months and meet every Tuesday, something like that, something's going to come up. You're going to have a doctor's appointment, something of that nature. So because it's a continuing body that hears many different cases, you know, they're just hearing this little bit about each case to decide whether there's enough for it to go forward. The traditional rules in all jurisdictions that I'm aware of say that so long as you have a quorum, that's sufficient. So you don't have to have every single person there. You don't have to have a unanimous verdict. Everybody doesn't have to be there every single day. Rather, you have a big enough group, if you have a quorum and you meet the numerosity requirement to vote for an indictment, that's enough. Because the big test then is the later test at trial. So it's this preliminary determination whether it's enough to send the case on for trial.
Okay, so in this particular case, the grand jury asked that a lesser charge against Officer Carrick be filed. The attorney general then said he would resubmit the same charges for a full grand jury. How many times and under what circumstances can charges be refiled to a grand jury?
Well, that's an interesting question. So the traditional rule was any number of times the prosecutor wants to do it. So if you once meet that standard, so let's say you put it in, you've done a certain amount of investigation as the prosecutor, you think that you've got enough to present to the grand jury. You don't bring everything that you've got to the grand jury because, again, it's just this short, brief, preliminary preview of the case. And the grand jury says, I don't think that's enough. There isn't necessarily anything wrong with the prosecutor coming back in the next time, bringing in an extra witness or two, more documents, and that same grand jury or a second grand jury says, oh, well, now I see that's enough. So the traditional view was no limit. Some states have taken a different view, which pushes the prosecutor to be a little more careful and do a fuller presentation because unless they show new evidence, newly discovered evidence, newly gained evidence, they can't come back. And that's a pretty big modification from the traditional rule that I think is more commonly observed most states, including North Carolina.
Is it up to the prosecution to use a grand jury versus filing a charge directly with a court?
So the traditional rule in the sort of original English colonies and about still a third of the states as well as federal is you have to go to the grand jury for a serious felony type charge. It's not the only way to do it. And most of the Western states and some of the Midwestern states have said, why don't we just require the prosecutor to show this preliminary preview of the case to show there's enough to a trial judge? Why don't we do it in an open courtroom so that if the community or the victim's family or the press wants to be there and hear about it and see how much was put forward, you know, isn't that as good or a better way to do it? And so a number of jurisdictions, I would say it's the majority of states now, allow that as the procedure. That's the kind of standard procedure. But it's not the tradition. So North Carolina is, you know, kind of within the traditional area here of saying this is the best way to do it, the traditional way.
Sarah Sun Beal, professor of law at Duke University and the author of several books, including Grand Jury Law and Practice. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
It was a pleasure talking with you.